Okay.
And we're recording.
Hello, Davey. Internet.
Yeah, wait. Internet. We're not there yet.
Oh,
starting the broadcast now.
Okay, now hello, Internet.
Hello, humans.
Good evening, everyone.
All right, I'm looking at a picture of Rita's new leg. Do you need the balance bars to stand?
Right now, I do, kind of.
Oh, is it totally different?
It's totally different, yes. The foot is totally different. I'm going to have to learn a whole new way of walking.
And it is painted in toenails.
I did my toenails. My toenails are awesome.
Oh, yeah, because the ankle's articulated. Your old ankle wasn't articulated, was it?
No, the ankle doesn't move, really. It's just inside the foot is, you know, the stuff they make Oscar Pistorius's running feet out of? That carbon fiber springy stuff.
The stuff that lets him cheat.
Yeah, he cheats.
He's an unfair advantage.
But inside the foot shell, you can see, is inside is like an S curve of that carbon fiber springy stuff. Uh-huh. And so when I walk, it gives me back energy. And so as I'm like stepping and then following through with my step, it gives me energy as I push off with my toe. And so it feels like I'm pitching forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like I feel all the time like I'm kind of like on the edge of a precipice, like kind of pitching forward. And before my old leg, I wasn't using the muscles in my hamstrings and my buttae as much as I should be. So, I'm kind of struggling through that, like trying to, work those muscles that I haven't been working for a long time.
So you're trying to say that your fart box is going to look even better now?
Yes. It's going to be awesome. Woo-hoo. You can bounce quarters off of it soon.
Hey,
let's... I think I speak for everybody when I say we need pictures.
Yeah, we need pictures. Here, let's get started here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Great. The next.
It's time for the Squirrel Report. Thursday, August 30th, 2012. Okay.
That was very dramatic.
And just for the internet to know, the next time Brina and I are hanging out, I'm bringing a whole goddamn roll of quarters.
Hey, we got a call.
Okay. Damn.
Yep. So I'm going to take this one.
902.
Yeah.
That's it.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Nancy. A
people caller wants to talk to Miss Brita, so let me pass the phone over to Susan.
Okay.
Uh-oh, I can barely hear you.
Yeah, I'm going to
turn it off. Hi, Brita.
Hi, Susan.
It's Susan. Hi, Susan.
My favorite girl. How are you?
Well, I've got a couple questions about your leg.
Okay.
Now, can you get it wet?
Yes, I can get it wet now. My old leg, I couldn't get it wet before. And so the new one, I can get it wet. And so you know what that means?
What?
I can go to the beach.
Yay!
I know! I can go to the beach and go in the water and play in the sand and be like everybody else. It's really cool.
Awesome.
I know. I mean, it's going to be nice on Saturday, so I might go to the beach on Saturday.
Yeah.
And so how much like a new baby duckling are you walking like, Brita?
I really am not walking so great right now, but I'm working on it.
She's having her Cabana Boys carry her in a sedan chair, so.
Yeah. Susan, did you see a picture of my leg?
What's that yellow thing on the top of your leg?
Top, where top of my leg? Above it. Okay. That is a liner that you put against your skin, and it has a pin at the bottom that locks into the robo leg. But after they took that picture, they cut that yellow part off. So it's lower now. So it looks like it's just my normal leg now on top. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a very tight sock but they cut it down, so it's not covering my leg anymore.
Oh. Okay.
Is there anything else?
No, I'm going to pass you back to Mommy.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling, Susan. Good night.
Yeah, it's past her bedtime, but she really wanted to talk to Breed about the leg.
Oh, yep. She's great.
We've been cheering all day. It's just cool.
Did she have, like, a reaction to the picture? Was it, like, weird for her, or was she think
it
was
cool? Oh, not at all. It's, like, it's really cool. What's that yellow thing for? What's this for? What does this do? How does it work?
Yeah.
Little kids don't have reactions like that.
No, that's cool.
It just is. There's nothing different about it. It just is.
Little kids never ask a zillion questions.
Well, they do, but they ask common sense questions. It's
I have found that with kids where they just want to know how things work and the why of things. You know, they're just like, well, why does that do that? Or why do you have that? And that those are fine questions, you know.
Right. Yeah, you mystify it's not an issue.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, my mom herself was a little bit embarrassed when I asked the black woman in front of us at the supermarket checkout line how she got black.
Oh dear. Well,
she was perfectly fine with it. Mom had a few issues. She thought it was adorable and was very pleased to answer my question. That she's always like that.
Well, being
and I was glad to learn.
Was this in Maine?
Yes.
Well, that's probably a rare sighting.
Yeah, well,
it was the black woman.
Yeah.
In 1983, she was it.
Again, I feel compelled to mention that my son is the one who announced to all of Walmart that he had a big, long penis. Yeah, that's my boy.
Oh, no.
It was shortly after his sister was born, and we had to talk about how boys and girls are different, and boys have penises and girls have vaginas, and that's why she didn't have anything there when we changed her diaper. So he's like, he's puzzling it out in his little, you know, 2-year-old mind. So I have a penis. And she has a what do you call, like, call it a nunu for now, all right?
Until you're 18, call it a nunu.
It's a snooter. It's
a cooter. But anyway. and we, you know, so we thought that was all set. And then, you know, like 2 weeks later, we're at Walmart. And we're going through the checkout. And he's looking all pensive. And then he gets this big smile on his face. I'm like, what's up, bud? He says, I got a big, long penis. And I thought the clerk at Walmart was going to die. She laughed so hard. Because here's this cute as a button little 2-year-old kid talking about his big, long penis. Yeah. Like, yeah, DYS is coming to my house.
Did you did you teach him how to do a mushroom tattoo?
Oh dear. Okay.
Yeah, that's enough.
We're not even 10 minutes
going
in the show.
Go tuck Susan in on that note.
Okay,
and,
Nancy.
I'll be back in a few.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for indulging her.
Bye.
Oh.
Great.
Yep.
Susan is at the top of my list for potential kidnap victims. Just saying.
You can't kidnap the willing, Brita.
I know. I've got 6 cats. She'd be in heaven.
That's right. And you can look at all the cat videos on the internet.
We could.
Every last one. We'll start alphabetically. You guys were so cute that day.
I popped out a cat.
All right, then.
Yeah, so.
Nice way to start off the call. So in case anybody missed it, Brita got a new leg today.
I got a new leg today. It's very cool looking.
Papa's got a brand new bag, and Breed's got a brand new leg.
Put the picture up again, just in case anybody's missed it. I'm wearing the good bra. Look at my boobs. All right.
How can you not?
Yeah.
But the crucifix for tastefulness. They're chasing pure boobs.
That's the Jesus died for these boobs.
Actually, that's a different one.
What?
The cross. It's not a
Yeah, my
Jesus
mom brought
cross.
Me this cross back from Ireland. It's a St. Bridget's cross. which is, you know, kind of like a pagan symbol taken over by the church.
What she
but that we'll go with that. Anyway.
I'm still looking at the boobs.
Okay, close the picture. We have a whole show to do that's not related to my leg or my boobs.
Really?
What fun is that?
One, please call in. Oh! Yeah, we need to announce the, I mean, we did the blog post kind of late today because Alan forgot. And, you know, I came back from the getting my new leg and I said to Alan, I said, you do the post? And he says, no. Like, he was all ashamed of himself. I said, fine, I'll do it. So we do put a post up on the Squirrel Report every week. We try to anyway. But the call-in topic is kind of fun tonight. I think we did really well last week with the fun call-in topic.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it was.
I mean, we didn't even get to any of the other topics because everybody wanted to call in and tell their grody stories.
thanks to Chance. For the inspiration. Thank you for trying to remove your leg at the ankle for our amusement.
By the way, it sounds like he's doing well. He's back on it and everything like that, so good on Chance.
Yeah, he's except he hasn't gotten work boots yet, which I'm like, stupid. What are you, dumb? So
you can't keep a cracker down.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so soon he'll be like getting a new leg like me. You know, one more incident and he'll be getting a new leg like me. Anyway, our call-in topic tonight. What?
Jay, go lay down.
You probably wouldn't do as much. Wouldn't do any better with plastic and metal than with meat and bone.
That's true.
Not if he's trying to catch runaway trailers. I don't think your leg would stand up well to a trailer any better than the meat sack.
Actually, Brita, what's the main shaft of your leg made out of? What metal is that?
The pylon. I think it's
whatever.
You know what? You know,
it's titanium. Please tell me titanium.
It's rival flavor.
I'm not sure. I think it's not aluminum. It doesn't feel like aluminum. It might be stainless steel. It might be titanium.
Rival flavor.
It's riboflavin.
You need carbon fiber. It needs to look like a ricer's hood.
I've got carbon fiber on the frame of it, which is cool. I like that a lot. Actually, she came in to me before. You know, before she was having everything, you know, in the final stages. And she asked me, she's like, okay, well, do you want us to laminate a design on it? You know, we could laminate any sort of design. And she showed me, like, all sorts of fabrics and patterns and all sorts. I'm like, no, just leave it plain. I kind of like the plain, tactical, kind of black.
Rita gets a Vera Bradley leg.
It's kind of badass. Oh, I'm not like Vera Bradley. No. It's pretty cool. I don't know. I just have that carbon fiber pattern. I kind of like it. Mike picked it up tonight. He was looking at it. He's like, it feels like a Glock.
Oh, no. Brita's got Glock leg.
Yeah. So, I think it might be stainless. Somebody says it looks like stainless steel. But
it does. It doesn't look like, it doesn't look gray enough to be titanium.
I don't know. I can ask. Yeah.
Yes.
So, anyway, we were talking about our call-in.
Yes, we were.
Alan, take it away, because I'm sick of talking.
Okay. Our call-in topic tonight is quotes you need to know to understand the nerds in the gun culture. And that sounds kind of convoluted, but basically it's like you hear the slang we toss around, like, I'll be in my bunk or just bunk or whatever, and if you hear it, you might go, ugh.
Yes, to the uninitiated, it can be cumbersome.
Right. So
ate a thesaurus earlier.
Things you need to know in order to not sound like a noob.
Stupid noob.
There is kind of a learning curve with the gun blogs. Well, it's kind of like a culture. Every culture has its own language, and I think the gun blogs really do. You know, there's a lot of...
I call dibs on tag-along.
Okay. Tagalog. Okay.
And there are certain things that you've always got to look up, like Tam introduced me to the term WOG.
Yeah.
The term what?
WOG.
WOG. Oh, WOG. Yeah.
I don't know that one.
The origins, Edgar Rice Burroughs.
It's slang for an indigenous species that you go in and kill.
Oh, okay.
When you're the
Is it a British term?
Yes.
Because that sounds
British.
Yes, it is. They'd go in and they would, you know, they'd go into some third world country and the native inhabitants were all called wogs or something similar. I think it was mostly used in India.
Well, you know that, Norm, the origin originates with Tollywood.
In India and the Commonwealth nations of Africa.
Yeah.
But Tamsins use it an awful lot about the war with the Barbary pirates.
They did use it there. You know.
Hogs.
Kipling.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, anyway. That's our call-in topic. And the call-in number for the call-in topic is area code 214-530-0036. I did that without looking. Did I get it right?
Yes, you did. That was impressive.
Yep.
Impressive.
I finally learned my own phone number.
We're halfway through the year, if you will.
It's the 24th episode. I finally learned the 24th episode. I finally learned the call-in number.
One of the things that you kind of have to explain to people if they come across it on the gun blogs is Wookiee Suitor.
Ah, you stole mine.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is really one of the ones that you're like, what?
Yeah, I made the mistake of mentioning that to somebody who wasn't in the gun blogosphere, and the look you get, you're like, oh,
yes.
God, another Wookiee Suitor. And like, what?
Yes.
And like, oh, crap. Like, oh, how do you? Because you can't explain that without access to the internet.
It's like it's like you talked about Fight Club.
Yeah, it kind of is. There's
except
a lot of
people know what Fight Club is, even if they haven't seen the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Tam's post, you're like, what? Or and the subsequent fallout.
I mean, there's just that one picture that you have to show people and be like, you know, you have to show them the Wookiee with the, what is it, Gadsden flag?
Yes.
And then
what's that guy named? He's from New Hampshire. What's that? Do you remember the guy's name?
No. I didn't know he had a name. It was just random Wookiee. No,
his name is...
I'll find it real quick. I got to look it up because this is going to kill me.
Oh, Miguel had a good one in the...
No.
Yeah, that's right, Miguel. You got to call in.
If anybody has one of
these things that we're talking about,
you must call in because we are not going to reference you in the chat.
There you go. Lay down the law,
call
Brita.
In. Damn it. 214-530-0036. Do it right now.
Here's the chat. I just threw the link up in the chat.
Yeah.
For Wookiee Suit, where it comes from.
We have a caller.
Yes.
And it's good. MDev. Hello, MDev.
Wow, he's early.
Why, hello.
Calling
You're
in early.
Today.
And I am calling in early because I got off work late, so I actually got to listen to you guys in the car.
Sweet.
Mm. So you have
and,
been listening.
And in honor of the call-in topic, I think I need to explain that I am the only one professional enough in this room. Fail.
That's a good one. That's an excellent one.
The only one. That is a good one.
That's actually
and,
two
you know,
in one.
Maybe follow wait, the. Well, I don't want to steal another obvious one, but I'll say anything involving multiple 308s to the back.
No, it's 338. Poor
yeah, 338.
Oh, I'm sorry. I made it a somewhat reasonable caliber. I apologize.
Yeah, when you talk about the only one, you gotta. Not only is it only one, but it's Lee Page too. So you gotta explain who that is.
Yeah,
it originated the only one. I'm the only one professional enough, and you know just that whole phrase. I'm the only one professional. Well, I guess you could say the newest one, the owl I fucking shot myself.
Oh, the guy, yeah, on the
yeah, the
training course guy, or the yet another in the long progression of you know, what's the latest is the Secret Service guy that left his gun in the toilet on the airplane.
Oops. Oh yeah,
Professional.
On Mitt Romney's plane. Yeah.
Yep.
The only ones the professional.
CBS correspondent found it.
And probably panicked. Oh my God, a gun. Ah.
At least he was in the bathroom, so when he shit himself, he could just clean it up quick. Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, he probably did.
Cool. Oh, by the way, the guy wearing the Wookiee suit is Dave Ridley of the New Hampshire Free Staters, New Hampshire.
Okay. Doesn't he do the Ridley Report?
Yeah, the Ridley Report. Yeah, he is.
And that's that provokes people while open carrying. Yeah, isn't
he is every. Not only does he wear the Wookiee suit, but he is a member.
He's not only a member. He's
the founder.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, he's part of the Free Staters who are. They're really fantastic people because they do stuff like smoke joints in front of the police.
Okay, one at a time.
Women with topless and stuff like that, and the courts just eventually just said, quit arresting these guys. We don't want to deal with them anymore. They're not hurting anybody.
They're harmless, and we like to laugh at them.
MDiv was too loud, and now he's not loud enough.
Hmm.
Well, go ahead, MDiv.
Now he's MDiv.
Oh, I was just going to make the confession that it was very recently that I learned the origin of Wookiee Suitor. I knew it from you guys in context, but I did not know about the origin of it.
Yep. That was a TAM original.
But then again, like, I don't know the actual origin of I'm going to be in my bunk other than JMBC. So.
Oh, that's from Firefly.
Yeah. That's Jane.
See, I never watched that show.
Yeah, that was Jane.
You've never watched Firefly?
Oh, did you?
Brita forced me, and I'm glad she did.
All right. That's enough of
that. MDiv.
I hung up on him.
Oh!
Wow.
Yeah, that was Jane Cobb witnessing the precursor of what was quite possibly lesbian sex.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need a little bit of time in the bunk after that.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Yeah, Jay, I forced you to watch it because you have to watch it. It's
why because awesome.
What the hell's wrong with you, Jay?
Why? Because Firefly.
You had to be forced to watch Firefly? Jeez. Yeah, but damn, dude.
It's TV. I don't watch television. I do not watch television.
Yeah, but some of it's actually good.
Yeah, well, the problem is the signal-to-noise ratio is awfully fucking small.
Well, that's why you get
the
DVD.
What's nice about Firefly is it's not on television.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, fair point.
You can get it on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Instant Watch. Yeah. And Serenity.
I believe I have Linoge to thank for sending me his extra copy.
Oh, by the way,
I watched the
Firefly Serenity series in essentially backwards order, and I actually highly recommend that. Just watch Serenity first; you'll enjoy it a lot more, and then watch the series to fill in the blanks. Because I don't know, if I'd watch it the other way around, I think I would be very angry.
Oh. Huh. Yeah, well, you know.
I read Jurassic Park, then I watched the movie, and I fucking hated the movie. But I realized it was actually a pretty decent movie for the time, but I just couldn't get into it because they fucked up so much of it.
Oh, this is Unix. I know Unix.
What?
Yeah.
Stupid girl.
Yeah, she was. Don't worry, she wasn't a hacker in the book. That was, I don't know who the fuck thought that up.
Yeah. Okay, we got another caller.
Excellent.
This is area code 806. You're on the air. Hello, 806. Hello.
806.
Oh, I hear something.
I hear somebody trying to say something.
Turn up.
Say it louder.
It's up as far as it'll go.
That would be me.
Hey.
Oh,
there we go.
Hey.
Wow, what a
boy. I'm
on
my iPhone because the house phone's a piece of crap.
Who is this?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Very well.
Can you hear me? I can hear you.
Who is this?
I got the volume turned way the hell up here.
Answer the question. Who is this?
Whoever
they are, they have a great radio voice.
Okay, I'm coming through.
And your name is?
Travis Beck.
Hey, Travis.
Hey, Travis.
All right.
I like Travis. He's excellent.
I'm going to move away from the computer.
That's a good idea.
the time delay is really screwing up my
mind. Yeah, you don't do that. Turn the computer's audio down. You don't want to hear that.
Let's see. Gun culture, mall ninja.
I can post
a link in chat to Lonely Machines, Shrine of the Mall Ninja, the original firing line.
Oh, yes.
Quotes with Gecko 45.
That's a classic.
And his tactical wheelbarrow.
Exactly.
That is a classic.
Michael Z. Williams and even immortalized him in his novel Better to Beg Forgiveness.
Nice.
And
I met him, by the way. Michael Z. Williamson. I met him. I had the weirdest experience at Penzic.
Just one?
Well, more than one, but that one was kind of weird. I was walking around. They were giving this exhibition of, arts and crafts kind of stuff people do, period stuff people do at Penzic. And I was walking past this table, and there was this man sitting there, and he had a whole bunch of knives in front of him. And I looked at him, and I paused, and I thought, oh, I think I know him. And the person I was with asked me, oh, who is that? And I said, I think that's one of my Facebook friends. And I really don't – I've never read any of his books, so I don't know him that way. I think he friended me on the book. And so – but I recognize him from his picture. He's got that kind of really recognizable face, and it was kind of like this whole, like, hey, aren't you kind of – that guy that I know from Facebook? And he says, yeah, who are you? But he's a very nice man, and his knives are beautiful. I can't afford any of them, but they're beautiful.
Yeah, he's a man of many talents, that's for
yes,
sure.
Yes, he is, definitely.
Now, he looks like a 16-year-old with a mustache.
But... he does! He has this baby face, and it was, that's the thing that got me, a very nice man, and very accommodating. For people who were like, hey, aren't you that guy? He was very nice about it.
I think you'd enjoy his books. He has a series sort of post-world UN with another planet called Freehold, which is probably the best visualization I found yet of what a truly libertarian society would function like.
And, wait a minute, truly libertarian society and function?
Yeah. Well, like I said, this is the best version I've seen, other than, you know, Heinlein's version of, you know, get off my lawn or I'll shoot you.
I was thinking Coventry.
Try some of L. Neil Smith's stuff. He does a lot of good libertarian society stuff.
Uh-huh. But Mike Z's got a real interesting series of novels there. Freehold, let's see, The Weapon... then Rogue and a couple others that I'm not thinking of here, but definitely the Mall Ninja
that's a great one.
And how would you define Mall Ninja, Travis?
Let's see, a Mall Ninja would be a private security guard, not a contractor, a guard that takes himself far, far too seriously.
Yes.
Food Court Team 6.
Yep.
Yeah. If you own the entire Phobos line, you might be a mall ninja.
Exactly.
If you have Kevlar gauntlets.
Or 5'11 socks.
Trauma plate duct tape to a vest.
5'11 makes socks?
Yes, they do.
They do.
All right.
They make everything.
That's funny.
Hey. Oh, God.
The thing with the Mall Ninja, too, is in the original version, he can't afford the good stuff.
Oh, okay.
So,
he's
buying the, like they mentioned, the Phobos and the Uncle Mike's and, you know, the Black Rock stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it came up again in, did I touch a nerve there? Came up again in Tam's site earlier this morning because of the subject of High Points was there, and it didn't take long for the Mall Ninja meme to appear.
High Points.
Oh, dear.
Cobra.
But yeah, I went and posted the link to the original threads. And
we saw that. Thanks.
He was doing a really good job on his own, and then another guy joined in, and they started just, I mean, they had this thing going for a week. And a lot of people were, I think they took him seriously at first.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but, you know, there's lines in there like, you know, saving the ass virginity of the mayor's nephew and things like that that just live on in infamy.
That's the tough part of avant-garde comedy is that some people are going to think that it's honest.
Hey, there's people that think the Onion is real.
And there are people that thought sometimes the Onion wrestling is real. Women.
The Onion is fake but accurate.
Yeah.
Well, I say after Dan Rather, yeah. Real.
But yeah, if anybody isn't familiar with the Shrine of the Mall Ninja, then by all means take a half an hour and read through it, but don't try to drink anything while you do.
Yeah.
don't take a half hour. Take a full hour.
Yeah.
You're gonna need that time.
Take notes. Yeah. But then another line, you know, one encounter and basic training does not make you gay. I mean, these two were just brilliant.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, thanks for calling in.
Hey, no problem. Right. Talk to you later.
Bye. Thanks, Travis.
That's a good one. That's
that is a good one.
That's actually one of the top ones, the Mall Ninja.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. I'll go old school because I'm a huge fan of Jeff Cooper. I gotta say, Goblin is one of those ones that people don't quite get or aren't quite familiar with. But that is an absolute fantastic term, is for Jeff Cooper lended for the members of society that are simply predators and beasts and aren't really like the rest of us. And some people have said it's kind of a dehumanizing term, but let me tell you, the people that rape and murder, they ain't like the rest of us. I mean,
no, they're not. You know,
not raping people is easy. I do it every fucking day.
Yep.
Me too.
Well, Brita, you could probably stand a little less of that.
Thanks, weird.
That's kind of one of those things when chicks do it, it's kind of okay.
Oh, you weirdos.
Yeah. Okay or awesome?
It depends.
Like when guys do it, it's sick and creepy, but when chicks do it, it's kind of okay.
Like when a 20-something teacher sleeps with a 16-year-old male student, it's kind of cool.
You're like, you know, every guy in the world is like, where the hell were those teachers when I was in high school? Damn it.
They do all damn hot, don't they?
Yeah.
That's born yet in your case, Alan.
Yeah, no.
Adam Carolla had a great line. Was he was saying for defense, he wanted to be the defense attorney for these teachers and simply put the kid on the stand and say, after you had your last encounter with this teacher, did you beat off to some of your experiences? And if he says yes, he said, I rest my case.
Yeah.
Affirmative defense.
Oh,
that's a pretty darn good defense.
It's a damn good defense.
So now we've devolved into statutory rape.
Or statutory rape or statutory awesome.
Okay.
Hey, we got another.
Anyway.
We got a caller.
Any more callers?
Yes. Another caller? Please?
Yes. Area code 317.
Does Brita, what's yours?
What?
Or did you already give yours?
No, nope, we got a caller here. Okay. Let's let the caller talk. Hello, Erica. 317, you're on the air.
Hey, it's the Jack.
Hello, the Jack.
Hey, Jack.
How are
ya? I know him from the internet, man.
Well, if we're going to do terms, how about reasoned discourse?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Very good.
That is a good one, yeah.
Who first came up with that? Was it Bacon?
I think it was actually an anti-gun person talking about it just before they nuked their comment section. I think that's actually their term used against them.
Yeah. The other Jack.
I think it was the Brady campaign actually, because the Brady campaign had their comment section and they were starting to delete comments saying we're here only to foster reasoned discourse. And they just and then within a few days of saying that, they just simply locked down the whole comment section and nuked it.
For more.
Yes,
there's one right there.
That's another good one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Break. What is it? Break orbit.
Take off and nuke it from orbit.
Take off and nuke the entire site from orbit. It's the only way.
The only way to be sure.
as I was saying to Sci-Fi, he was looking at my movie collection one afternoon, and he went, "What? No Star Wars? No Star Trek?" And I said, "I said Sci-Fi." My sci-fi geekery is entirely in the Alien series. That's my universe.
Wow, that's kind of sad.
No, it's not. It's awesome.
As long as you didn't have that shitty 2001 A Space Odyssey.
You need to expand your horizons a little bit.
Oh, I've watched all the other ones. I just like the Aliens ones the best, especially the ships. I've worked on commercial fishing boats and I've been on commercial freighters and all of that, and that's exactly what ships look like, is the exposed heating ducts and duct tape and all the crap holding together and rust and grime, and it's dark and all that, versus go look at Star Trek and even the original series, that goddamn ship looks like a Cadillac.
TNG looks like a freaking mall.
Yeah,
exactly. They cut corners on the original series. They couldn't afford to pay for all of the female members' suits.
Oh, don't get even started. You know what they did on the on Next Generation? They still had the miniskirts, but they had some of the guys wear them too. There was one extra. This guy, he always wore the red miniskirt in the background shots in the first few episodes.
That's just...
There was a guy wearing a miniskirt?
Sure,
how progressive.
Well, yeah,
is that?
They wanted to keep the miniskirts because Roddenberry was still on board, but his whole future thing, they didn't want to be sexist.
I'm going to totally have to go back and look.
Maybe it was a kilt.
That's basically where Futurama got the joke, because Zap Brannigan and all those other people wear the red miniskirts.
I did not know that.
By the way, speaking of other progressive future things, in the director's commentary of Alien, Ridley Scott points out that Lambert is in fact a lesbian, and he just didn't dare to make it kind of a side notion, but he wanted to have a more progressive space in 1979.
Interesting.
Wow. 1979. Holy crap.
That's right. I was born then, Jay.
You were? Fart.
Yeah.
You were conceived then.
No, I was born then. I was probably conceived.
I was
born on January 1st, 1979, so I suspect my parents were doing the nookie back in 78. And never since.
I like how he suspects. As opposed to, you know, perhaps there was, I don't know, turkey basters involved. David Crosby came to your house.
Oh, Lord.
I'm dialing you guys back. You're cut off.
Well, this is what you get when you invite
Hey,
James.
Thanks for calling in.
All right. Good talk.
Jack.
Thanks, the Bye. Jack.
We love you, Jack.
It was the Jack.
It was the Jack.
And that call-in number is 214-530-0036.
Just so you know, there are other Jacks out there, but that
is the Jack.
That's right.
Hey, let's try to get to one of our topics while we...
We have topics?
Well, yeah. While we have a lull in Collins.
Fuck no! I ain't doing it!
The first thing, and this is kind of old news by now, this is what we run into with this report on Thursdays. Old news is the Empire State... I'm actually calling it the Empire State Police Shooting Spree.
Oh, it's a police shooting. Absolutely.
The police shot more people than
the police
the
killed
bad
more
guy.
People.
Yeah.
Did anybody die?
No, they killed the same amount.
They killed one.
Yeah. The bad guy killed one person and wounded none. The police killed one person and wounded nine.
Okay. Well.
So I got to say, sorry, police, you win the brass ring on this one.
And, you know, I understand. I have this theory about people who become policemen. They're kind of self-selecting group for people who become policemen, where they're, you know, I don't know if they're ex-military or they're just kind of that mindset that kind of, hey, maybe some of them are mall ninjas, you know. And I'm not saying all of them. I'm not saying every policeman. I'm saying that more and more they kind of skew that way.
Well, the civil service exam really pressures for that. I mean, my next door neighbor just joined my local police force. He's one of the newer recruits, and he was talking about how it was an absolute bitch for him to get there because he went from, you know, he graduated high school and went, he's a young guy, he graduated high school and went right to the police academy, and he was getting passed over in every town that he was attempting to join the force on because he wasn't military, and military get pressed at the top. And it just so happened that there was an opening and there weren't any military people ahead of him. So he finally got on. So, you know, it's one of those, I get it, but you're absolutely correct. And a lot of them are ex-military because the civil service exams add extra points to your credentials for being ex-military.
Oh, okay. See, I wasn't aware of that. But there just does seem kind of be like a type that goes into law enforcement.
As a general rule, mall ninjas are the guy that can't do enough push-ups to get to the police academy.
Okay.
And so he's forever forced to work in SEAL. In Food Court Team 6, but God, he imagines that he's the cop of them all.
But my theory is that they're this type of person. Like, once they get their switch flipped, you know, where the fight or flight kind of adrenaline response, it's kind of like the predator response where, you know, a predator sees something run from it, and the predator, the switch gets flipped, and the predator cannot resist that impulse to chase the prey.
It's the same idea as why you never, ever run from a dog. If a dog starts growling at you, you maintain eye contact. Which asserts, you know, a little bit of dominance, so the dog will have respect for you, and you back away slowly until you get to a safe distance and keep your hand on your firearm because you're carrying your goddamn gun.
Right, but I think that, and I'm probably completely full of shit, but it's my theory. But
no, you're not.
You know, I think that a lot of, and it does not mean policemen, but there's a certain type of people, and perhaps this type of person is more apt. You know, more likely to become a policeman, that once that predator response gets flipped, you know, that switch gets flipped, then all bets are off. They start shooting, they start beating someone up. It's like they can't control that adrenaline response.
Well, that on top of that, they also don't get enough training.
Well, they don't get enough training, and also on top of that, they do not get enough. They don't have enough, like, repercussions.
Right. Yeah, the qualified immunity.
They commit all these, you know, they do all this stuff, and they get a slap on the wrist. And so there's no real incentive to learn how to control yourself.
Well, it's twofold. Yeah, it's twofold. It's the qualified immunity, and it's the thin blue line. It's one of those things of the, I mean, I talked about back when I worked for Big Daddy Government, doing scientific research, is I actually would give a training talk to the new recruits, and one thing I always made sure to put on was, you know, a few years before I joined up, there were a couple of guys that made it a point of the, well, all I'm doing is creating data, and I don't have a supervisor here, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to chill out on this boat, and when I get home, I'm going to cook up some numbers that look about right. And send them in, because who's going to be any the wiser? And eventually they got discovered. And I made a point to talk about the fact that do not do this, because number one, it's wrong. And number two, it makes everybody here look bad. Yep. And we don't want to look bad. Because, I mean, we get enough shit with, you know, I got enough shit with people thinking I was with Greenpeace or some other, you know, people trying to sabotage fishing boats and all of that stuff. There's another thing to have a bunch of guys just cooking up bunk data and stealing money from, you know, from the government to, you know, just because they're lazy.
And, yeah, but it's okay because they got enough money to buy guns.
Right.
But the so with that, I mean, it was one of those things of the if we ever found out, and then the same thing goes with my, you know, with my next career in laboratory research. Is I remember one guy that in scientific studies. You're doing when you're doing drug dosing, the drug's got to be dissolved in a solution, and so part so the control group is just getting the solution that the drug's dissolved in. That way, in case there's any odd effect from the solution, you get that. So you call that the vehicle. You have vehicle dosing studies. We found out one guy in the lab was just saying, "Well, it's just vehicle. There's nothing in it. So fuck that. I'm going home early." And I'm not going to be. I'm not going to spend an hour dosing all the vehicle subjects. And we were just like, no, do not do this shit because, again, it makes everybody look bad. It's not right. It's not good. But meanwhile, then you have Officer Harless, where he threatens to murder somebody.
I know.
Yeah. Fucking murder somebody. He says he's going to kill the guy and go home and sleep like a baby. And the fucking cops line up behind him. Who fucking does that?
Right. I know.
Well, they can't police their own. I mean, it's they've got such an us against them mentality that you know, they can't get past it.
And it's the same thing goes with like all these like, you know, the 80s and 90s cop movies, you know, Internal Affairs is always the bad guys.
Right. And meanwhile, they're, you know, breaking the law left and right.
Exactly. I mean, it's just it's the every decent cop. I mean, it's just the same way as the people that say, oh, you know, Republicans are anti-immigrant because they want to crack down on illegal aliens. And I'm like, the first people who should be fucking batshit insane about this are the legal immigrants.
Right.
Because they go through fucking hell to get into this country.
And most of them are.
Yeah. And yep. so that's the big thing. And it should be the same way for the cops. If you're spending your time, you know, on the straight and narrow and not taking bribes and not threatening to kill people and not shaking down hookers and not doing all this crazy bullshit that crooked cops do. You should be the first one to be throwing the crooked cop under the bus as soon as you hear enough data that says, oh, he's, you know, bad guy. And, you know, it's the same thing with the gun people. As soon as we hear about someone who does a dirty shooting, you know, as soon as we hear about someone who, you know, stuck the gun in somebody's hand or dragged somebody out or even just someone who had a negligent discharge, we're quick to hop on those people and say, no, that ain't how we do it.
And we got a caller.
Excellent.
Area code 503. Hello.
Hey, KJ.
KJ, I know him. He's from the internet.
Yeah.
He's very faint. I can barely hear him.
Yeah, I turned.
Oh, just, wonderful. My phone line sucks.
Yeah,
you're good now.
I turned it up.
KJ, use your outside voice.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the insulation's got a perch, and at a certain point, it's actually totally uninsulated and wrapped around a little steel post outside. Or it was. I hit it with the weed whacker a couple times when I was younger.
The squirrels like to jump on those.
We don't have many squirrels around here. They heard the shooting, and they've learned better.
Smart squirrels.
In reference to, the NYPD Empire State shooting spree.
Right.
Sure, you have bad eggs like Officer Harless, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the problem's more fundamental, I should say, or maybe not more fundamental, but it has more to do with the training than it has to do with any instinctive response, difference compared to, say, us.
Okay.
Right? Those of us mm-hmm. who carry concealed.
Right.
It's not that we're any different from a cop when the shooting starts. Right? Get people safe, and when worst comes to worst, you better be ready to do what you have to do.
Right.
The problem is, a police officer, on average, just isn't as good as we are.
That is true. Police officers do not train as much as, at least in my experience, they do not train or even go the range or even put lead down range as much as people who conceal carry. They just don't.
I've got a friend who's actually almost out of school with his pertinent degrees for being a police officer. The shooting is secondary to him. On a certain level, when he was old enough to understand that flashing lights were cool, he decided he wanted to be a cop. And then as he got, you know, older and began to understand more what it meant, he's accepted that he's going to spend a lot of time dealing with people who are going to make him angry, you know?
Right.
But on a certain level, he wants literally to protect and serve. He's got the same guard dog instincts that JG would have, or you would have, or I would have. The problem is he gets a lot less opportunity to practice them.
Mm-hmm.
And he has so much more stuff that he does besides shooting that he just doesn't have the time.
Ah, yeah.
Well, also to be fair, I mean, to some extent, they're a little bit right on that. I mean, yeah, most cops only shoot when they're required to, by the department, which is either once a year or every 6 months. I've never heard of anyone that qualifies officers any more than once every 6 months. And the round counts on that are, I mean, it's one of those I've heard, like, you know, 50 rounds, 75 rounds, things like that. I mean, it's one of those, I don't ever bring that few rounds to the range. What, you know, I've never shot less than 100 rounds if I'm going to get a gun dirty. I mean, it's just not worth it. And
I do, but that's because I walk 200 yards.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. If I was testing out my hand loads, I might do that. But still, because even if it was my own backyard, I'd bring at least 100 rounds with me. But the, that's just enough to get the hunger going, but not enough to better down. To be fair, I mean, I was live journal buddies with Kit. I don't know what her current blog is. I've been following it, but she keeps changing blogs every 5 minutes. But she was a computer geek. And then she moved out to Montana and became a cop, and she had that protect and serve mentality, and quickly became disillusioned by it because it was one of those things of she was spending all her time writing traffic tickets and busting drunk drivers and breaking up domestic disputes from people who were just going to have another domestic dispute.
That's usually what they do, though.
Exactly, and that's really what cops are. They're doing traffic infractions, they're writing tickets, and they're busting rowdy teenagers and people that live in have shitty marriages.
Well, maybe we need to change the rules for being a cop. You know, maybe we need to let them carry a gun just like anybody else would get to carry a gun, but they only get to use it for self defense.
And that's actually really all they ever do use.
No, they don't either.
They shoot dogs.
Yeah, they don't. Usually they don't use it for self defense when they have to draw it.
With the dog shooting, I completely withdraw my statement.
Or like in this one in New York, they did. You know, I mean, they weren't shooting the guy in self defense. He was trying to run away.
Was actually running away.
Yeah. So
they were not shooting in self defense at all.
Yeah. No, I'm not defending the guys, but
no.
Let's just think about this. Even with all the time we spend at the range, shoot, don't shoot, you know, draw the gun, holster the gun. This time I'm going to fire three rounds and stop, you know. Imagine if you don't have that background, right?
Right.
You spend all your time in a city with really tall buildings, and most of your money goes to your apartment, or most of your salary goes to your apartment's rent.
Okay.
So you, and your main focus may or may not be ammunition. And these are all choices that these men have made. What happens when you get into a shoot-no-shoot situation, or what you think may be one, your adrenaline's pumping, you know, your vision is tunneled, you're sweating, you're shaking.
Right.
How hard is it for someone with instincts 3% off of the same ones a wolf has? How hard is it going to be to not pull the trigger?
I understand that.
However, they think the way we do, exactly, but it's close.
I understand, but, you know, anti-gun people are always like, well, if you're going to carry a gun, you should train and you should, you know, be knowledgeable about your weapon. And I don't see why police people should be exempt from that, especially they're the ones who are, quote unquote, the only ones allowed to carry guns. I don't.
And based on New York, the NYPD's own stats, abysmal shots.
Abysmal. Yeah. But, you know, these are the people who we entrust to be the ones who are able to shoot and able to control their weapons.
And they
able
all suck.
And I know, but it just really bothers me that these are also the people who are like, well, yeah, I carry a gun. I go to the range once in a while. And these are the people tangling
and I leave my gun in the
with
toilet.
Criminals. And they leave their guns in the toilet, and they don't know how to shoot, and it's a disconnect for me.
Oh yeah, that leads to my biggest gun nightmare, and that is it's not the, you know, a Trayvon Martin sort of situation as well. I have to shoot someone who's unarmed but attacking me, there's all sorts of really nasty situations you can get yourself in if you're carrying a gun where shit gets really, really fucking iffy, and you really need to make a gamble, really, because you just can't know in the amount of time that it takes you to react. And but my biggest fear is that I get pulled over because my taillight burns out, and the cop, for some strange reason, thinks he smells a little bit of marijuana or something, whatever. You know, and says,
yeah.
I've got probable cause. I want to search your car, and
no.
I want to search you. Well, I mean, at that point in time, I mean, again, I'm not a Wookiee suitor. I'm one of those people of the once a cop starts throwing his weight around, I'm complying and getting his fucking badge number. And
really?
Because
really?
You're not going to win. You're not going to win on the side of the road.
Yeah, because
we're going to lose.
Because you're not going to win. The only way you're going to win is to prove that he was not in the right with that situation. Because pretty soon you're in resisting arrest, and while he may have an unjustifiable search and seizure, he has a justified resisting arrest, and that just makes you look like shit. And it's one of those things of the if a cop's going to be a total fucking dick, I'm getting his badge number. And, you know, I'm getting his badge number. I'm getting an arrest report. I'm going to let him break the law.
No, you know what? I would at that point, if he says if he wants to search my car, if he asks me, I would tell him, you know what? Get a warrant. And I'd close my window and I'd sit there and I'd wait.
Well, to be fair, I'd be asking, do you have probable cause? If he starts saying, oh, I'm smelling marijuana right now, I'm like,
here's the thing. Here's the thing most people don't realize, and Mike tells me this, like, all the time. When a cop stops you, all you have to do is crack your window. Legally, all you have to do is crack your window and slip your identification and your paperwork out the crack of your window and hand it to them. You're not obligated to say anything at all. to them. You do not have to answer questions. You do not have to do anything except hand them your paperwork and roll up the window. That's it.
But the big issue I have, back to my initial point, and all very good points to raise, and that's a smart move, and that actually reminds you of the video. It's on YouTube of the, you know,
don't talk to cops.
And, oh, I thought you meant how not to get your ass beat by the police.
That was a good one too.
That's a very good one too with Chris Rock. But my big concern is to be in one of these situations where I'm armed, and I'm in a situation where the cop is really starting to do some serious cop things, and I'm notifying him that I'm armed, and I carry a 1911, and most cops carry Glocks or M&Ps or XDs or you know, Smith & Wesson third gens or what have you, which is entirely a different gun altogether. And my big fear is the cop goes to pull my gun out of my holster, and he has no idea what the fuck he's doing, and he sweeps off my safety and shoots me in my own gut or shoots me in my own femoral artery. And that's actually a big reason why I always look up, if I'm ever traveling in one of those states that the duty report, I look up to see, is it a felony or is it a misdemeanor? Because if it's a misdemeanor, I'll pay that tax. Because I simply will not just right off the bat say, oh, hello, officer. Yeah, I might have gone a little bit fast. Oh, maybe I didn't wait nearly long enough for that stop sign. By the way, I'm armed. And that might lead to him saying, well, I'm going to need to have you step out of the car, and I'm going to need to have the gun taken, you know, taken away from you for the duration of this stop. Bang! Because the bottom line is, if the cop's carrying a Glock handgun is probably the only handgun he has ever handled or ever fired. Most cops take their first shots with their duty gun. And so, whatever you have, if it's a little bit different than what the cops carry, they may do something extremely stupid, and they're certainly not going to be familiar with it. And so that's one of my big fears. It's the bottom line. I went to a gun range once to shoot with a friend of Jay and I's, and up in Shirley, and the Shirley police had taken over the gun range, and we had to wait. They were just finishing up, but I got to see the Shirley police qualifications, and I'll tell you right now, I could take anybody, so long as the person doesn't have any severe, you know, medical disabilities. You know, if they're, you know, so long as they don't, you know, so long as they're not in a friggin' wheelchair blowing into a straw, I can train them in a few hours to qualify to be a police officer.
Hey, is our caller still there?
Yeah, I am. I was just going to say, I have my pet fear regarding police. It's a classic, but it's a little more relevant around here, I think, because meth is a big problem in this area. And that's a wrong number, no knock.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? I'll agree
men
100%.
That's everybody's fear everywhere. You know,
yeah,
they come zooming down my very short driveway, shoot my dog, and swarm my house. What am I going to do?
Die.
I am defending my home.
Yeah, you'll probably die.
So?
Let's take it a bit further, because chances are they'll come after dark while you're asleep, while you're in bed. You're gonna first notice things when either you hear your dog get shot outside, if you keep your dog outside, or you're gonna hear your door get kicked in and your dog shot if you have a dog, or if you don't have a dog, you're just gonna hear your dog kicked in and hear someone yell police, police. Hey, guess what? Guess what you just heard? You just heard somebody who's not a police officer say police, police. I can say it all fucking day long. Police, 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 police.
Right.
Yep.
You don't need any badge. You don't need any training. You don't need any certification to yell police, police. And guess who does that? Criminals. There's lots of documented cases of people who do home invasions by posing as police officers.
They'll wear shirts with police emblazoned on them.
Yep. There were a couple guys who got scared off by a neighbor in Florida. who were trying to break into a house wearing those some FBI blazers you could buy at the costume store.
Yeah.
Or FBI, whatever they are, windbreakers, sorry.
Or at the mall ninja shop.
In the mall, yeah. Mall ninjas are us.
Hey, thanks for calling. We got several more people stacked up waiting to call in. So,
all right. Have a good one,
you
guys.
You too. Bye. Yeah, we got callers waiting. Area code 713. Hello.
Hi. How y'all doing?
We're all right.
Doing very well.
Say that again?
Yeah.
This is Tomcat.
Oh, Tomcat. Hey, how you doing?
Not bad. How y'all doing?
All right. What's up?
Oh, definitely one of the things that I don't understand is the whole BS about them not having the time to train. My girlfriend's son's teachers have these things called in-service days. It's the teachers who work, long days, long hours, underpaid, can go to work and not do regular duties and train for a day. The damn cops can do that once a year, right?
Yeah, they definitely should. I wish I was as underpaid as a school teacher.
Well, I mean, I know I've had friends that have done it for a living, and it's...
But yeah, I mean, they're kind of under the same system, right? They're kind of like a state thing where they get, you know, city, state money. And definitely they could definitely set aside a day where once a month at least to go to the range and brush up on their skills.
Once a quarter. It's not that hard to ask.
No, definitely not.
Just take a day off once every 3 months, go to the range, get some instruction, put some rounds through your handgun so you don't want to load the damn magazine anymore. But hey, look, training.
Yeah, I'm not a big, you know, gung ho training guy. But I think cops need to be held to a higher standard. I think if anybody needs the whole, you know, tactical training and stuff, it's the cops.
My point is that they hold themselves to a higher standard.
Well, yeah, of course.
And so, you know what?
They're not, though.
Walk the walk, buddy.
Yeah. Now,
that's my issue. Of course. They think they're better than us. They treat us like they are better than us. And so, you know what? Try at least to be better than us. Because they don't now.
Well, they also, have a higher incidence of criminality than people with concealed carry licenses.
Yeah, except that every group has a higher incidence of criminality than concealed carry.
Well, but
dentists have a higher.
Police have a higher incidence of criminality than the general public.
I've heard that.
That's again the thin blue line. As if If someone's sitting in a locker room and you guys are off at the cop bar after your shift throwing back a few, and someone talks about taking a bribe instead of busting a hooker and saying, hey, the drinks are on me, instead of going, what the fuck, dude, I'm going to report you. You're making us all look bad. Instead, it's going to be, hells yeah, I'm going to order some more expensive shit.
Well, there you go.
I don't get that at all. I mean, I've worked a number of jobs. I'm a tech guy. And anytime I have a coworker that's a bombing, for lack of a better word, a piece of useful shit, you turn them in.
Yeah.
You know, if you catch a coworker stealing from your job, you turn them in, unless you're a cop.
Right.
For some reason, the cops, they don't think about that? What?
I don't know. Is it a cop thing or is it a union thing?
I think it's both.
I think the problem
could be a union thing.
The problem is that you turn the guy in. What happens? Does he get fired on the spot? No. He gets a vacation. They do an investigation. The union goes to bat for him. He's right back on the job. And now, guess what? You're going to rely on this guy that you turned in.
Yeah.
You were doing the right thing, and he's going to stab you in the fucking back.
That's true.
And also, you get rid of
the union, you solve a lot of the problems.
Also, you get
a bad cop, they investigate him, he is gone. You're gonna make the good cops much more likely to turn them in.
Well, that falls back to that whole higher standard thing. You know, I mean, if you know.
I don't even care about higher standards. I want them held to the same standards
well,
we are.
Higher standards than they are held to currently.
Yeah, but that's damning with faint praise. I mean, let's face it. If I'm in downtown Boston, I'm walking in downtown Boston, I'm a concealed carry holder. Let's pretend it's not Massachusetts. You know, just say I'm walking in a large city as a legal concealed carry holster. Somebody comes up and sticks a gun in my face and says, I'm going to blow your fucking head off unless you give me your wallet. If I take a step back, empty my Glock in the vague direction where he came from and hit 9 fucking other people.
Yeah, you're screwed.
It's credibility to think that they're going to go, the police are going to come investigate and go, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell a different story, and Jay, hold your laughter. Hold your laughter, Jay, because the story will be familiar to you. Is let's say Jay and I are out tossing back a few beers. Jay and I like to drink beers. And so we start drinking beers. And at the end of the evening, I start stumbling off to my car, and Jay says, hey, Weird, you're a little bit too drunk to drive. Why don't we call a cab? You come over, you sleep on my couch, and in the morning we'll go get your car. And I say, fuck you, I'm fine to drive. And Jay says, no, seriously, I don't want you to drive. You're not safe to drive. You're not in a good condition. So I pull out my gun, I shoot Jay in the thigh, and then get in my car and drive off. Now, if this story was true, then I'd be facing some serious criminal charges. Now, this story is true, but it involved 2 Boston cops. And what happened with MJ?
My recollection is a big, fat nothing.
A big, fat nothing. That story actually happened. 2 cops were
out drinking. Well, that's not true. That's not really true. 1 cop got a nice limp.
And a disability retirement.
Yeah, exactly. We're paying for it for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
You know, which when you think about it, it's pretty flippin' sweet. I'd take a round to the leg if I never had to work and got full salary for the rest of my life.
I'll be right over, Jay.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Shoot me in the leg and then I never have to work again. I'll take that round. Thank you very much.
Aim for the joint.
Yeah,
no kidding. Hey, thanks for calling. They're stacking up. Thanks.
No more. All right.
Bye.
Caller.
But yeah, to close the story, yeah, two Boston cops, and as far as I know, and I think Jay will concur with that, is the cop that was too drunk to drive home, and his buddy was just saying, hey man, you're too drunk to drive, and the guy took a .40 caliber round to the leg.
Yeah.
He is currently on the job in Boston, and he is currently protecting and serving in the city of Boston.
Nice.
Oh, you really got to – I mean, for a cop to get fired, it's got to be something egregious like Officer Harless, especially where that wasn't his first or even his second or third offense. They realized that this guy's a liability, and with the internet, everybody knows about it. So the next time this guy fucks up, and he may kill somebody, he probably will kill somebody.
Yeah.
We're liable because they're going to point to this and say, hey, there's no way you can say you didn't know about this because it went all over the fucking world about how bad this guy was. And if they kept him on, he was going to cost them serious money. I'll bet $100 in my left nut he's a cop somewhere else.
Oh, sure.
Because they're like,
guess what? Unless you're regular followers of Jay and I's blogs, you never heard about those 2 Boston cops fighting over who was too drunk to drive or not.
And we got another caller.
All right.
Area code 703. Hello.
I guess that's me.
It is you.
That is
JB Miller.
Oh, I know that dude.
It is JB Miller.
Hey, guys. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, you.
I'm shot with that dude. He shoots better than cops.
He does, definitely. He probably
does. Here is my take on the New York City cop incident. I think that there is multiple variables that affected this whole thing. First of all, the huge budget cuts that have affected the training of New York City cops has really impacted this. I read somewhere that and now we're talking about beat cops, the cops on the street, mm-hmm. in this case. They are given a training allowance of 100 rounds annually, and that includes the ammo that they have to use, in fact, to qualify annually. Okay?
I think I have more than
and that doesn't count any paid training hours. They can't take any of their work hours to go to the range and practice. And, in fact, so many of the ranges have closed in New York that it's difficult, even if they want to train, it's hard to find a place to actually schedule an hour on the range. So that's one variable here. They are crippled by their employers from training. Two, even if you were a conscientious cop, it is nearly impossible to find somewhere private in New York City to go train yourself. You know how expensive private indoor ranges are in New York?
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
That's an excellent point.
And a beat cop salary, they cannot even afford to buy ammo in New York City. So that's the second variable. Like in Virginia, where I live, Jesus, the ranges are full of, you know, off-duty cops that are also shooting enthusiasts. I mean, it's interesting how many of the people that I know that actually are range rats are actually in law enforcement, just because there's, you know, you can't swing a dead cat in Virginia without hitting a range within a significant distance. So it's easier in Virginia, and in Virginia they don't cripple the beat cops for their training time and training budgets for.
Then I would suggest that the New York City Police Department's criminally negligent.
Hello.
And the theory is because Bloomberg, you know, there isn't any gun crime, any real, you know, crime in Bloomberg's paradise there.
Yeah.
You know, most they're always touting. You know, it cracks me up how in one sentence he says, "Oh, only the trained professionals should ever, you know, have guns in New York City."
So take them away from the New York City cops.
And then you cripple them.
Yeah.
And I think another variable here is that New York City, more than anywhere else in the country, has an incredibly high reliance on SWAT teams. Hmm. They actually have only a few SWAT teams that cover all of Manhattan, but they highly train those guys. And they're the ones that actually call in. They're the guys that actually may have the most likelihood of actually pulling the trigger in the line of duty, but they actually do get training. But they're not surprised in situations. I understand that these beat cops that ran across this guy just completely by accident, and it just surprised the shit out of them. And then suddenly it's a firefight where everybody's diving for cover and just spraying and praying. And, you know, New York City, it's kind of known for, like, having crowds of pedestrians. So
yeah.
If you start throwing a lot of blood around in a high velocity, if it
right.
goes 200
well,
yards,
see, here's the
there's going to be some meat
here's,
in the way.
Here's my argument, okay? And you see this a lot with cops. You saw it with the guy, the hot pursuit case in Florida where – they were supposedly in hot pursuit of this, you know, this guy on a motorcycle, and they lost sight of him when he pulled into a apartment complex. And then they busted down the door that was right next that the motorcycle was parked next to and shot the guy in the apartment. You know, you see that a lot of this kind of thing with the cops where they don't stop and think about what they're doing. You know, this guy that shot his coworker, they knew who it was. You know, this was not a secret, and you know, they didn't have to have a shootout on the street in New York. They could have called their SWAT team or whatever. I mean, they could have found the guy, you know, and taken a little more time and done it right instead of, you know, wounding a whole bunch of people that were just walking down the street.
Yeah, no kidding.
And you see this, the same kind of thing happens all the time where they get caught up. It's like Brita said, it's like that, you know, it's that predator instinct where it's like I can't stop.
And then,
right.
And then there's other instances where it's
some poor schmuck's been shot 70 times or some ridiculous number. Mm-hmm. That's happened many times.
Sure.
Or like the Ogden guy who had two marijuana plants and he was working at, he was working in the night shift at the Walmart thing. They could have easily waited for him to leave his house and pulled him over on the street and arrested him there, you know, and they could have had like a SWAT van, and they could have come in full force. Instead, they decided to kick down the guy's door while he was sleeping, and according to him, he didn't know what the hell was going on. He just heard his door get kicked down, so he just started shooting.
I think the training comes into it also. Not only, you know what, I'm revising my theory here, but you know, you have those people that are that do have that predator instinct kind of trigger response. But I think also because of their lack of training, they also kind of have they're not able to overcome their panic. You know what I mean? And part of training is, you know, you have that muscle memory kind of thing, and it overrides that panic thing in your head. At least it's supposed to, you know. And I think they're not getting that sort of intensive training where they're able to overcome that. Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! I need to shoot this guy! Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! You know, and they're not able to do that.
I'm actually going to be a little bit more of a dick and play even further devil's advocate and point out also, I've read a bunch of stories like this, but Say Uncle a while back did a very interesting thing with, there was this guy, he was a drug dealer. I think he was wanted for a murder, and he was known to be armed and dangerous and just generally a bad guy. And did the cops go and do their no-knock raid on his place?
No, they didn't.
They called him up and said, "Hey, you've won a TV. Come down to such and such a place and come pick it up." And when the guy stepped out of his apartment onto the sidewalk, they pounced on him, and he was unarmed, and they took him down without any incident. So why is it that this guy, who's a meat eating psychopath, gets this clever ruse on how to get him out of the apartment, but yet the ex-soldier, you know, the ex-soldier who's got some depressive issues, who's smoking a little bit of weed to calm his demons down, suddenly gets the whole, you know, gets the ninjas kicking his door down?
It's an interesting point. I don't know.
Because they don't.
Yeah, one other point that I like to make. The specific kind of training that cops in New York City get is only range training and only out to 25 yards.
Yeah, it's poking holes in
paper. How far away do you think the guy was as he's running away from these guys?
Yeah. Not 25 yards.
I mean, I
8 feet and 15 feet.
I have had the opportunity to do, you know, some shooting while moving kind of on a target practice. You know, I love that with steel targets, moving while you're shooting. It's a completely different thing. And to actually, you know, even hit a regular size target that's suddenly, 30 yards away, 35 yards away, 40 yards away, that's moving while you're moving, while your adrenaline's pumping, and, you know, it's hard to stay inside a 10 ring, you know, at a regular range at 40 yards.
That's why I'll reiterate what I said before. I don't think cops, I think we ought to dial it back and, you know, not let them do that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Because they were not protecting their lives, and the guy was not actively threatening anyone else's life. So why were they shooting?
And also, to be fair, the guy wasn't moving either. I mean, that shooting was absolutely, I mean, that was absolutely textbook. I mean, the first stage of the NYPD qualifier is 7 yards on a stationary target.
He was closer than that.
He was closer than that to the closer officer. He was about that. He was just a hair closer than that on the officer that was further than him. And he was not moving. He was walking, and then he spotted the officers, and he turned around. He planted his feet. He started pulling his gun, and then they started shooting. It was not – I actually expected when I first read the reports back when – it was actually sounded like the guy had shot 9 people instead of the cops shooting 9 people. I had actually read it. I just assumed that once I started hearing that it was possible that the cops were returned, you know, that some people had been hit by stray police fire, I assumed it was some sort of run and gun, you know, chase type situation. And absolutely, shooting at a moving target is far more difficult, or shooting at a stationary target while you're moving, or you stationary and the target's moving, or both are moving, or whatever. That makes things infinitely more difficult. But that wasn't the case. This guy.
So this is just strictly a four rules violation.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Luckily, none of those people died. Yeah. You know, none of those nine injured died. So at least that.
Yeah, I think they said most of them were hit by like ricochets and stuff like that.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Concrete fall.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but still, I'll just say it again. You know, they shouldn't be doing that.
Well, and we have not even touched on the subject of the bad guy shooter in this case. How did he have a gun in New York City?
Yeah, impossible.
He bought it in.
Impossible. Yeah.
He bought it in Florida and brought it with him when he moved there.
Right.
he bought it when he was living in Florida.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, like 25 years earlier he bought it.
21.
So the New York gun exclusion field that failed.
Right.
Yet again. Damn it.
So obviously we need more laws.
Yeah.
Because
it was
illegal for him to have that gun in New York City. It was illegal for him to carry that gun with him to the Empire State Building.
It was illegal for him to shoot a coworker.
It was illegal for him to kill somebody.
Yeah.
And then it was illegal for him to flee from the cops when he realized that the cops were pursuing him. It was illegal for him to pull that gun back out again. It was illegal for him to point that gun at the cops. It was perfectly legal for him to be shot dead by the cops.
I think that's going to be my back to the call-in topic for this evening. Try it again harder.
Ooh.
You know, the whole gun law thing.
That's a good one.
Do it again, but harder.
Do it again harder.
Yeah.
That's an excellent one.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot.
Speaking of call-in topics, J.B. Miller.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you have one? Do you have one?
Oh, let me think. I just said out loud Ten Ring, and my wife was saying, "What the hell is that?"
Oh, yeah.
So I think there's a lot of small things that everybody takes for granted that are just simple terms. You know, not just, you know, esoteric sci-fi references like I'll be in my bunk, but you know, certain things, 10 rings, you know,
20% harder.
Yeah.
Grip it 20% harder.
It works for me.
You know, a lot of little terms, slide bite, all kinds of, you know,
yep.
Small terms that, you know, people, you know, have to go.
Actually, Jay said it earlier, talked about Glock leg.
Yeah, Glock leg.
Yeah.
I have a Glock leg.
That's just a leg made out of Glocks.
Oh, God.
That would be cool.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Thanks, JB.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye.
And we got
JB, you had the echo.
We got another caller.
Excellent.
I know.
Callers make the show.
They do.
I have to say that I love the callers. You know, Jay and Weird and Alan. I love you guys, but I really like talking to other people.
Speaking of other people, area code 336, you're on the air.
Cool.
Hi, guys. Dr. Mike here.
Hey, Dr. Mike!
I know that dude. He made me a knife.
Yeah, he played for Motown, didn't he?
He did in Motown.
Dr. Yeah. Mike and the proctologist?
Well, pretty much. Reason I called in is because you guys hit an interesting topic, considering I retired after 30 years of law enforcement experience and was a state-certified firearms instructor for the Criminal Justice Training Standards Commission.
Awesome.
Okay.
So, but...
an expert, finally. Somebody that knows what the hell they're talking about.
Not an expert. I'm still learning. But... you guys are painting with a real
Rush.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
We know that. We know we are.
And that's you know, I heard somebody say, well, why did policemen have a us against them mentality? That's part of it. The wide brush. You know, one guy screws up and then everybody's going to get credit for it no matter how good they are or whatever.
But don't you feel that the police also have a wide brush when dealing with the public? Because, you know, I come from, okay, I'm not a policeman. Obviously, I'm a librarian, but I deal with the public. And I have a wide brush when dealing with the public. Yeah. I am very, you know, I let people prove themselves to me to be good before I open myself up to, you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
because,
exactly.
Yeah. I think it goes both ways. I think the police also work that way.
I'm sure it does, but I'm sure, and I have no complaints about that. And to just start the conversation off from the get-go, nobody hates crooked cops like other cops.
Okay,
nobody.
But why don't cops, you know, why don't other cops then, like, let's say a crooked cop is in your police force, why don't you arrest him? For breaking the law. You know, that's the problem we have. Because, you know, crooked cops do all these things that normal people get arrested for.
And that's true, and it's totally wrong. But, again, you know, it's just, I think because we are now in the 24/7 news cycle.
Yes.
That individual accomplishments in that field, being crooked or doing something wrong, this, that, and the other, it's really flashed out there, and people notice it more. You know, we've always had crooked cops, and we always will.
Sure.
So you're always going to get a percentage of people that are in the business who are in it for the wrong reasons, or they turn bad once they get in there. They may have gone in there for the most
power
perfect
corrupts.
And beautiful reasons.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's not just that, though. Cops, as a rule, see the worst part of society day in and day out.
Correct.
You go to work every single day and you see, I mean, you know, Brita, I respect you and the work at the library, and I don't know how you deal with the hobos and the porn junkies.
Yeah. We call
most cops would be happy if that's all they had to deal with.
No, I understand that. I totally understand that. But on a small scale, it's kind of the same thing. You're dealing with the shitheads of society. You know what I mean? And you kind of come from a standpoint where you just assume everybody is a shithead, and you know, if they prove themselves not to be, you give them the benefit of the doubt and you have a little celebration and say, yay, this person's awesome. But, you know, the next person, pretty much likely to be a shithead.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And that is a part of the problem of mindset. There are so many variables, it's really hard to cover them all. Well, case in point, you know, why does a person get into law enforcement?
Right.
You know, what do they, in the scheme of things, what do they want out of the job?
To get
a pussy. Help a fellow man, or do they want to walk around with a shiny badge on their chest, gun on their hip, and make people do things that they don't want to do?
I'm sure there's all kinds of reasons.
Oh, hell yes.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I wanted to be a cop so I could speed.
Well, I'm not one, and I still speak. But that's neither here nor there. But the point. Keep in mind one thing that I'm not going to even say we. I went. Well, let me give you an example of some things. You know, people say, well, you know, cops need more training. I agree wholeheartedly. You know, the budget that I had to work with, I estimated that I could give my guys. We had to qualify twice a year. Daytime, nighttime, and then I've given 150 rounds each 3 months to do more work with. And we even paid for range time. And I still didn't think that we were giving them enough training because, bottom line, they're the ones they call when everything has just gone to hell in a handbasket. So you need to be prepared for that. You need to be trained for that. Unfortunately, you know, with budget restrictions and work restrictions and this, that, and the other, you know, somebody's got to watch the town or the business or whatever while we're out of range. So it was a big contortion. And you're not going to get people who are willing to sacrifice or to give over something out of their own personal pocket to do this. You got to understand something. I went to a state sponsored rookie school. We call it basic training down here. And just before the class started, I had most of the kids in there, and they were kids. I mean, Jesus, I was feeling old. I was looking at how young these pups are. And I asked them, I said, let me ask you a question. How many of you guys have ever been in a knockdown drag out fight where somebody ended up bleeding? There was 26 in that class. Guess how many said they'd ever been in a fight like that?
Three.
Zero.
Zero.
Wow. Zero. None of them.
That speaks good for society.
No, it's the precious snowflake.
Well, in a certain aspect it is, but that's where we're cut. That's where you're drawing your police officers from this year.
Shit, I was in a knockdown, drag-out fight that produced blood by the time I was in elementary school.
Thank you. These kids are being brought up with zero tolerance for violence.
Yep.
You're training
even
them.
Even defensive
North
violence
Carolina
is not allowed.
Yep. I think North Carolina's rookie school / basic training is about 8 weeks.
Wow.
And that's not covering firearms training. I mean, that's covering firearms training and everything else, up to and including the history of policing. But you're shoving in 8 weeks that kind of stuff in somebody's head. You're trying to convert their minds. You know, because most people that are coming in, they have no concept that there are people out there that will kill them.
Probably not much time for going over the Pelian principles either.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're working with. And like I said, again, you know, the mindset just is not there. I mean, some of these kids, when I talk to them, you know, it's just like, you know, nothing's ever going to happen to me. I had two cops come up to me one time in training and said that, honestly, in all honesty, that if they could do their job without carrying a firearm, they would.
Well, bless their hearts.
Well, that's pretty much what I thought. Or you got any good stuff at your house when you get killed, so I can come over and get it.
Wow.
That's one of the disciplines. Go ahead, Bert.
Is it not common nowadays to have people entering the police academy where they have never handled a firearm before?
Oh, I'm sure it's very common.
I have heard that, and it's shocking to me. You know, they take these police, you know, they're going into, you know, wanting to be on the police force, and they take them to the range, and they've never handled a gun before.
Oh, yeah, that happens so frequently. I quit worrying about that 15 years ago. I mean, that happened to us all the time. But the point is, the mindset is what scares me even more, because I can understand if a person was brought up in a very urban area and mom and dad weren't hunters or whatever, didn't have any access to a firearm. I could live with somebody who's never fired a firearm before or somebody who's never handled one. But the mindset of, I don't know what to do when I get out there. I don't know if I can make that decision.
They're in the wrong line of business.
Well, you would think that, but you can't convince them of that because, like I said, I told these, you know, when I saw that in her class, that nobody had ever been in a knockdown drag-out fight, and I understand why. Quite simply because mommy and daddy and schools have zero tolerance for violence.
Yep.
So if you get in trouble, you call a teacher.
Even defensive violence. If you're a kid that gets picked on and you finally have had enough and you punch the kid square in the nose, you get in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is...
You should not have done that. You should have called us. We would have handled it.
Yeah, right.
But that's
unless we were doing something else, like polishing our nails.
Hey.
Yeah, I mean, weird, but there you go.
I already told my boy, if he gets in trouble for defending himself, I'll be there the next day to back him up. Anything happens.
Well, I was old school too. You know, my dad told me, he said, son, he said, you're going to be in fights. for most of your life. He said, if you are in the right, and I hear about it, I got no problem with it. He yep. said, but if you're ever in the wrong, and you come home, you fought somebody, and you were in the wrong, a.k.a. you started or something like that, he said, you can plan on having two ass whoopings that day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. You know, don't run. Don't run away from a fight. But then again, don't start them either. So, but I'm old school like that. And, you know, we're getting away from that. And so look at police situations with a little bit more circumspection, maybe.
Right.
Because, again, you know, you got to look at all these things. Nothing makes me as mad as somebody who will make a decision or give a point of view when they don't have all the facts in.
Right. And I think you're correct. I think everybody kind of treats everybody with a broad brush.
Oh, yeah.
And I agree with you there. And I think it goes both ways.
You'll never hear me argue that point against it because that's true. It's sort of like I can't figure out the exact words to put it in. Pain medicine kicked in a while ago. But,
sorry. At least you have a reason. I'm just dumb.
Well, no, actually,
Well, I think a lot of people have had interactions with the police where the police immediately turn you into a suspect.
And then
I asked a policeman a question about why was the library parking lot closed? You know, he had the street blocked off, the library parking lot was closed. I asked him a question. And he didn't. The mm-hmm. first thing he did was tell me about my headphones. He didn't answer my question. He said, "You know, you're not allowed to wear those headphones while you're driving." I'm like, "Really? I'm asking you a question. I didn't do anything wrong." And
but you did. You were wearing headphones while you were driving.
Actually, no, I didn't. I looked at the law. I hadn't done anything wrong. Do not tell a librarian she is doing something wrong because she will look it up and she will tell you, no, I'm not.
You'd better really be doing something wrong.
Yeah, right? So, but I think there is kind of like that broad brush thing. So it goes both ways. Yeah. And I think there is this like tension between the police and the public. You know what I mean? There's like this tension. I mean, that feeling where you're driving down the street and you're not doing anything wrong, and you're doing the speed limit, and you look in your rearview mirror, and there's a cop behind you.
Mm.
How do you feel? You know, you're like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
Now, what the hell does he want? What have I done wrong? Blah, blah, blah.
What have I done wrong? You're not doing anything wrong. But you know that he's trying to find something that you're doing wrong. So it's kind of like a broad brush thing both ways.
Not necessarily, yeah. Okay, well, again, you know, but let me throw this into the mix. Not excusing that kind of behavior, but if you look at a person who, no matter what he does, he, she, whatever, when they go into a interaction with the public, there is an outside chance that officer will die.
Okay.
Now, with that kind of mindset, day in and day out, that's got to have an effect on people too.
I would imagine so. Yes.
Now, but what about the instance where if you have a people living in a place with the police, there's an outward chance that there may be a mistake, and I may die, or I may be
definitely.
A crime leveled at me that has absolutely nothing to do with me, and my life will be ruined. So I mean that door also swings both ways.
Yeah,
and again, I mean there's the old statement they taught me in driver's ed is if the police officer's following you and he wants to pull you over, he can. I mean I think about this every time I turn on a urban street where it's less than 150 feet between where I turned onto the street and where I'm making my next turn. I can't signal before 150 feet before my turn, and that's illegal.
I have been pulled over, and I swear to God I'm not making this up, because my license plate was too dirty.
Oh.
I am not making this up. And no, it was not in Massachusetts. It was in New Hampshire. What it was 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, and I pulled into the Walmart parking lot. And I'll bet 50 other pickup trucks had pulled into a Walmart on a Saturday night, and 49 of them had been drinking.
No, you don't mean it.
Yeah. And well, I got to bring this up. Growing up, as a young male, my dad was a cop. He was a Massachusetts State Police officer. And my friends hated it because I'd get pulled over and I'd get out of tickets. And sometimes it was because they knew my dad. More often than not, it's because I listened to what my dad told me. I kept my hands on the steering wheel. I spoke directly to the officer. Yes, sir. No, sir. I'm going to get my license out of my wallet in my back pocket, sir.
Very careful.
And I would get a warning because I was doing things that let the officers know I was not a threat. And I watched my friends who would get pulled over, and they'd start arguing, what the hell are you pulling me over for? I didn't do anything. You're hassling me. And they'd get in the officer's face, and guess what? They got a ticket. Yes. Both ways.
Yeah, funny how that pulled over for driving while black also seems to happen while driving a car with spinner rims, too loud exhaust, illegally tinted windows, and smoking a joint, and answering the officer with "fuck you, Piggy."
I actually have pulled over and tinted for having tinted windows, but that's
I told a gentleman one time just before I took him to jail that 3 o'clock in the morning is not proper time to have a discussion of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
No.
Yep, strange but true. Yeah. I had a lady come up to me one time, and she told me, she says, you know, and I try not to talk too much about any other law enforcement agency, other states, other cities, whatever, because there are such a modgepodge of rules, regulations, and laws that I cannot pontificate on what all cops could do, okay? But I can on the certain things that I'm in. And there was this lady came up to me at a reenactment and found out what I'd done for a living, and she was talking about this. The cops were out to get her. And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, I said, do you know what most cops think about when they're on duty? I said,
when they're not.
Where they can get a cup of coffee, or can I get through this squad or this shift without having to do anything? Most cops just want to do their time, keep safe, do what they're required to do, but not much more than that. I mean, that's just human nature. Now, do you think, as I told this lady, I said, do you think that this police officer comes in, gets his kid on, goes out the door, gets in his patrol car, and say, I'm going to mess with so-and-so tonight. I'm going to go out of my way to do that. No, are you kidding me? Never happened. Never happened.
Everybody just wants to go home safe.
Yeah, well, I just want, you know, it's just like we had to restrain a gentleman one time, and he just looked at me, and he was speaking Spanish until we secured him, and then he developed the talent for English language. It was better than Rosetta Stone. It was great.
It would be politically incorrect of me to mention my father's comment on that, but yeah. I'm going to anyway. He said, "Yeah, they're like cute balls. The harder you hit them, the more English you get out of them."
Oh God!
yeah, Dad. Yeah, don't forget.
That's old school, man.
Yeah. Well, you have to understand. My dad graduated from the academy in 1964, so it was a different time. He cut his teeth in Boston during the busing riots in the late 60s, early 70s.
Oh no!
So, okay. you know.
And we lost you.
I'll take this.
I mean, there's a trial by fire, an unhappy way.
Yeah, Jay's having problems.
So Jay's having problems. But I got to say, first up is to say that, I mean, absolutely, we're they're the groups of people that just hate the police and see them as nothing but jackbooted thugs and, you know, Nazis and all this awful shit. And we aren't those people. You know, I mean, it's just I've absolutely had vastly more good experiences with police officers than I've had bad experiences. But the downside is the bad experiences are far more troubling than the good experiences were awesome.
I've had good experiences. I get guns from cops. So.
Well, yeah, and again, most cops just want to do the job, do the best of your ability, and do it right. And a lot of the guys that I came up with, a lot of the guys that I was, or and gals too, because one of the best female officers I ever knew was once my captain. I mean, I could not ask for any better boss. But the thing is, it's just, again, we are dealing with a complete different mindset of people these days.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I mean, it's just going to be something interesting to watch.
Yep.
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, the total lack of training and this the inability to getting the, you know, all right, I get to go to the range and I get to log some time. But I'm not doing it because I like shooting guns or I'm interested. I mean, obviously, like, you know, I said my neighbor's a cop. He's a shooter. We go to the range together all the time, and he's an excellent shot. Why? Because he likes shooting guns, and that's fun for him. That's therapy for him. He enjoys going to the range. But there's lots of people who aren't that much into it. My wife's not super duper into shooting. She'll go to keep things proficient, but she's not the type of person that, you know, I've said to her, hey, do you want to go to the blog shoot? No. I'd last probably about 10 minutes into it, and then I'd be bored out of my friggin' mind. And so these guys, I don't blame them. It's one of those things of the, yeah, you want me to get my skills really good. Well, you know, you're going to have to make it worth my while. And to do that with budget cuts and with the number of officers on the street totally slashed, which is happening everywhere, that's a fucking bitch. Because, yeah, you got to have an officer go into the range, and you got to have the department cover that. And meanwhile, you got to have somebody watching the damn fort because someone's got to call 911.
Yeah, they don't like it when you put it on answering machine, forwarder calls.
Just have it be a busy signal.
Yeah. Dial 911. Your call is very important.
Exactly.
Hey, well, thanks for calling. We're almost out of time. And
thank you for listening. Right. And you guys take care of yourselves.
Have a good evening. All right.
Somebody needs to call in and give a funny movie quote. I want some humor.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's going to happen. But
Miguel's going to call in. Miguel, call in.
But we do have an announcement of sorts. We are going to be down two hosts next week.
I know they're abandoning us.
I know it's gonna be Brita.
I'm hurt.
And me.
Well, fine, Brita. I won't send you any sloth pictures.
I'm so jealous of your sloths.
We need some help. we can't carry it ourselves. So what we're looking for is one or two people that want to be super duper stand in co-hosts.
Oh, Miguel can be my stand in.
Yeah, please let it be Miguel. Please let it be Miguel.
And if you want to do that and you have Skype and a decent mic and a headphone, because, well, you know what we sound like.
Shut up.
Send Brita an email. Send me an email. Let us know if you're interested, and we will.
And I think that all the applicants should give like a reason why they're qualified.
Yes.
Are you funny?
And if you bring some topics with you, that'd be nice too.
That'd be excellent. Yes, topics.
Or maybe make donuts.
And a bikini shot would be nice. Make sure to CC me.
You can bribe us. Bribery works.
Yeah.
I want to see pictures of Miguel in a bikini.
I don't.
Yeah. So email me at breedafallacy@gmail.com or... You know, you can send the bribes to my P.O. box. You know.
Anyway, if you're interested,
she needs toenail,
let us know.
She needs toenail polish, folks. Toenail polish.
I do. I totally do.
And next week is our 25th episode.
Oh, our 25th anniversary.
Yep.
It's like our, what is that, the silver anniversary or?
Well, it's not really an anniversary. It's just the 25th episode.
Whatever, Alan. I'm making it an anniversary.
Okay.
Come on.
Just I think
that, is that kind of like when we're in high school and we've been going out for like 3 months and you're like, yes. And we're like, oh, it's our
it's
3 month
anniversary. It's like our 3 week and 9 day and 20 hour anniversary. Buy me a diamond.
Yeah.
I kept saying that was the hand job anniversary.
We'll,
How'd that work out for you?
Well,
it didn't. No, actually, no, there was a hand job. There just wasn't any women involved.
It was self-inflicted. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to take some more Advil and go to bed. And thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. We have, like, 5 minutes left. So, yeah.
Next week, Brita's going to regale us with hobo kicking stories.
Gosh.
Bionic hobo kicking stories.
Bionic. Yes.
Hopefully I'll get there. Yeah. Somebody suggested I download like a sound on my phone and
the robot
play
sound.
The sound.
Yeah.
The robot sound and play the sound every time I walk, which
that'd be awesome.
Or just dubstep. That all sounds like hydraulics anyway.
You should
okay.
Learn how to do the robot.
Yeah, you can do that in the Mola library. That'd be awesome.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
It's Robo Brita.
Okay.
Anyway,
I think we're done.
Yeah, I think we're done too.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
Everyone. Yeah. We'll be back next week. And I guess, I'm trying something else to fill time, but there's no point.
No. So. Let's just hang up. It's fine.
Okay.
Alan. Come on.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Good night. Thank
good night,
you, everybody.
People.
Bye, Alessandra R. for Arrivederci.
Arrivederci. Good night.